Good evening. It's the last sermon that we'll hear this year, unless you listen somewhere else. The opportunity to be here on the Lord's Day to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's always a momentous occasion that makes us think about this past year and the coming year. And the recognition is concerning that time is swiftly passing by. As we think about concerning our lives, we recognize there are some of our loved ones, I'm very sure, that have passed away, brothers and sisters in Christ, those who died from tragedy, those that died in accidents that we may know of, and it makes us stop and think about concerning our own lives. We think about concerning time and how fast it goes by and what happened to time. This poem says, "When I was a child, I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone." And so as we get older, we recognize that time seems to pass more quickly. In Psalm chapter 90, of the passages, verses 10 through 12, but really as you think about God being eternal, and that's the way the psalmist writes this, begins this psalm. And usually we only think about this psalm during the time maybe of a funeral or maybe if we're going through a daily Bible reading program. But in Psalm chapter 90, the psalmist says in verse 1, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn turn man back into dust and say, 'Return, O children of men.' For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh." And these are the passages we emphasize, verses 10 through 12. "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or it due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. As we think about concerning our life and time is swiftly passing towards eternity, emphasizing the words of the song that we had just sung, swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory or shall we reap tears? As we think about our lives, how did we spend our time this past year? Did we live for God as we should? Did we do God's will, or we just do whatever we wanted concerning our lives? How many sinful things and maybe foolish pursuits that we look back and think about, man, I wasted so much time doing this, or I wasted so much time doing that, and it was a sinful thing. Well, you know what? We can't change what we have done in the past, but we can repent and do better. Sometimes you think about concerning our habits that have formed, and it's over a long period of time. It's so difficult to change. But as we pause and reflect and to think, what can I do better in? We need to consider that as we look into the future. We sang the song also, "Take time to be holy. The world is rushing on. The world is rushing on to do what it wants to do, whether it's shopping or pleasure or whatever it might be. This is what they're focused on. We need to take time to be holy. Will you take time to be more holy this coming year? Now, as you look upon just the couple things that we're going to mention, these are very simplistic, some say, but truly, let us examine ourselves and make sure that we do better in the future. Take time to study God's Word. We mentioned this passage this morning, but also as we think about our lives, it should be fundamental in our thinking that we are studying to show ourselves approved unto God. As a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Notice it talks about as a workman. We are servants of the Lord. We are to do His will. We are to do His bidding. And so that's going to take some time and effort and meditation concerning our lives. When you look at the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1, in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, a psalmist said this in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. He said, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." You notice the digression, if you will, into not looking, first of all, looking to the counsel, and then walking with them, and then in the end, walking and then standing and then sitting with them. But instead here, concerning the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. When we think about everything pressing on in our lives as we think about concerning our time and all these responsibilities and all these concerns and all these things that would distract us in our life, let us make sure that we're reading and meditating upon the Word of God and doing it daily so that we're in a time of stress and a time of temptation. We can recall those passages because they're in our minds and we're thinking about them. We're recognizing concerning our lives that there is no temptation that has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. I can overcome it. Because why? Because God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you can endure through it. And as we read and we meditate upon the Word of God, that we will be encouraged, we will be strengthened in our faith, we will be more holy, we will be more useful in his service as we think about the Word of God. In Psalm chapter 119, as we think about the temptations of our life, and specifically in this context, he's talking about the young man, but it certainly can be profitable to us concerning whatever age we're at. In Psalm 119, in verse 9, the Scripture asks this question, how can a young man keep his way pure? Here's how you do it. By keeping it according to your word. Now here's the mindset that is a must if this is going to happen. He said, "With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." You see, the aim and goal and desire of the psalmist, as you think about reading and meditating upon the Word of God, he sought the Lord with all of his heart. He wanted to do His will. His commandments were precious to him. Don't let me wander away from your commandments. But sometimes you look upon our society, it seems like, let me see how close I can get to sin without going over the edge. Not really concerned about doing the commandments, but just doing enough, maybe, in my own mind, to get by and to rationalize and justify when I have failed to do the will of God. But the psalmist had the attitude concerning, how can I be pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? By the word of God, by keeping it according to your word. This is how I will not sin. I will seek the Lord with all of my heart. We think about the greatest commandment, and the law is what? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Matthew 22, verse 37. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all of your being. Don't wander away from the commandments. And that's going to take seeking after the Word of God, having a great desire for the Word of God. You look through all the book of that chapter, 176 verses, you're going to see the emphasis upon the Word of God in every single passage there. The love that the psalmist had for the Word of God. He treasured God's Word in his heart. Do we treasure God's Word in our heart to whereby, you know, next year I'm going to treasure God's Word in my heart? So therefore, when there is a temptation to just not think about God's Word on that day, you know what? I've got the commitment to whereby I'm going to read the Word of God. It may be a daily Bible reading program. It may be something else to whereby I make sure that I'm thinking about the Word of God, that I'm meditating upon the Word of God, not just on Sunday and Wednesday. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, as the Apostle Paul had written to Timothy, as you think about it, I guess it's always been concerning the temptation to look down upon youth, and those who are older think, man, though it's always the youth coming up, boy, they're just awful, they're sinful, they're wicked and evil people. But the whole thing is that as the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, writing from his youthful perspective, here's the example that he said, the way he should look at things. He said, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation and teaching. Notice reading, exhortation, and teaching. As you think about concerning the Word of God, of course, Timothy being a gospel preacher, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which is bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. We recognize that there had spiritual gifts in the first century. From our perspective, have talents and abilities that God has given to us. And he said in verse 15, concerning taking pain, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention. Notice it. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, what are you going to do? He said you will ensure salvation not only for yourself, but for those who hear you. You know, it's interesting concerning the lesson as you look upon so many individuals that might be exposing the sins of others, and yet they've got this log in their own eye. And they're going to try to take the speck out of somebody else's eye when they're really blind and they can't see and hear. They're not judging with righteous judgment here. And so as we think about concerning our lives, that as we are going about our daily lives, it's just so easy to judge and condemn others. And yes, right, some are rightfully deserved to be condemned for their actions. Maybe sometimes we're so strong on that, but we don't examine ourselves. Are we reading? Are we giving ourselves to exhortation? And then to teach these things. Persevering in these things as we study the Word of God in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Because here is the problem that we face every day. Because the days are evil. It's interesting as you think about the Word of God, how up to date it is. The days are evil, and the days continue to be evil. That's why he said you need to make the most of your time. Other translations would say, redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have to do good. So then, verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We talked about concerning the drinking of alcohol and the that great danger. We think about those who would imbibe in that. And isn't it interesting that same context here concerning don't be foolish? He said, do not get drunk with wine in the next verse, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then he talks about our daily responsibilities as husbands and wives and fathers and, parents and children. And then concerning the employee-employer relationship, master-slave, of course, in the first century. Concerning the daily lives. You notice concerning here the days are evil, and here's what you're to do. Here are the commands. And so you choose to do the will of God. Understand what the will of the Lord is concerning your responsibilities in your everyday life. And a big part of it is, I'm going to study God's Word. I'm going to understand what the will of the Lord is. You think about, well, somebody says, well, there's so many different topics, and here the Bible is so big. How can you possibly read the Word of God? Well, the whole thing is, as Jesus had said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so if we treasure the Word of God, we're going to study and examine it so that we can be pleasing to God. Take time to study God's Word this coming year. We look at the opportunities that we have. Very likely there were opportunities in this past year that went by, and we failed to take advantage of the opportunity to teach someone the gospel. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And that was his goal, and that should be our goal too, as you think about the opportunities that we have. And we might consider the song that we have again sung in the second verse. It says, millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's night. Shall we sit idly as they rush onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ, the true light. We'll talk about the opportunities that we have. Matthew 5, verse 16, mentioned that this morning. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I realize concerning some, from some standpoint, that some might do their deeds to be noticed by men, like the Pharisees. Well, you can't control that, but you can control what you do. That you want to be pleasing to God, and thus letting your light shine before men. And that's going to be involved concerning the opportunity to teach them the gospel, holding up Christ, the true light. Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Right? John 8 and verse 12. Here they're walking in darkness. They're walking in sin. They're blinded to the reality of their spiritual condition. And being unprepared to meet God in judgment, wouldn't you want somebody to teach you the truth of the gospel? Most certainly, very likely did, and are very thankful for that. By God's grace through Jesus Christ that you could be saved, and someone taught you the gospel of Christ. Let us hold up Christ, the true life. Well, but so many have failed my invitation to come or to study or to think about spiritual things, period. And so sometimes some give up as a result. Did Christ give up? We know that God hasn't given up, because this world is still standing, right? God doesn't want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And we ought to be thankful for that God's mercy and grace is still available. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, right? Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good deeds, Titus 2, verse 11 through 14. God's grace has appeared. So somebody says, well, all right, God's grace appeared for salvation, so what do I have to do to that? Well, because more than likely, they're not going to read the Bible for themselves. It's very unlikely that others are going to try to correct them in any way, because most people think that 95% of people are going to go to heaven, or at least those who believe in God. And thus, you know, they're okay. Or maybe they're good, outweighs they're bad, or I just don't want to get involved. I don't want people to think evil of me, think bad of me. I want to get along with the world. Well, we recognize concerning that if Jesus, when he came to the earth, if he did that, would he have been crucified? No, he would not have been crucified. He would have been hailed as a hero. Take care of the Romans for us, to whereby we can have the kingdom and we can sit at your right hand and your left. We can have the power to rule over the people. That wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's way, was it? You think about the apostles, if that they had that attitude and mindset, would they have been willing to preach the gospel and to suffer death for the cause of Christ? Oh, very unlikely that they would have done that, or the other evangelists. And here, because they had those who persecuted them, no, they rejoiced. They were considered worthy to suffer shame for his name, right? Acts 5, verse 42, even after they had been put in prison, even after they had been beaten for the cause of Christ. As we think about concerning discouragement, yes, there's going to be discouragement, but you know what? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we think about our responsibility to sow the seed of the kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are fellow workers for the cause of Christ. You think about concerning the Apostle Paul, he planted the Word of God. Churches began. People had responded to the gospel, and here churches has began in many different places. So you think about Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe, and you think about Philippi and Thessalonica and many other churches that have begun because he planted the gospel. Apollos was an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, but he had to learn. He still had to learn. He only knew the baptism of John. And here, Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now he comes to Corinth here, and here he has the opportunity to water that seed which has been planted. But the whole thing is that they weren't in competition with one another. No, they recognized concerning the seed, the power of the gospel is in the seed. The seed is the Word of God. But if it isn't planted out there, we know there isn't going to be a harvest as a result, is there? Let us make it our desire that we can teach someone the gospel. Hey, you know what? If they refuse, you know, you can do just like the disciples. Shake the dust off your feet and go to the next one. I recognize concerning one point whereby there's a lot of time spent with an individual who really doesn't have the spiritual interest. Hey, you planted the seed. You can go on to somebody else and offer them the gospel. Try to teach them the truth. And the whole thing is that you don't receive the glory for what has occurred, because we didn't come up with this plan of salvation. It's God's plan. We are just servants. We are just humble servants wanting to do the will of God. When someone obeys the gospel, God gives the increase. God gets the glory, and we rejoice with them. Those who are dead in sin, but now alive in Jesus Christ. And those of you are alive here this very day, somebody taught you the gospel. We can pass that on to somebody else. Time is quickly passing towards eternity. We're going to pass away and die. It is so hard when you're young to realize that reality. And you see, maybe your great-grandparents had that opportunity, your grandparents, and then maybe your parents pass away, and maybe you start to think about it a little bit. Maybe you get into your 60s and 70s, maybe if due to strength, maybe 80 years, as there are several here that may have been experiencing that many years, and eternity is right on the horizon. You're in the winter of your life, and the recognition, you know what, I'm going to have to give an account for the deeds done in the body. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And after death comes a judgment. Am I prepared? Am I truly prepared to meet the Lord in the judgment day? It's going to happen. Those who are wise, what are they going to do? What are you going to do? We're going to take time to be holy. It's interesting we think about concerning, I have time for this and I have time for that. And here we think about all these distractions. God isn't going to accept that as an excuse in the last day. But wait a minute, I had all these responsibilities, all these problems, and all these issues. I just didn't have time to be holy. I didn't have that. God has given us all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, hasn't He? Well, I've got to sleep, you're right. We understand you have to sleep, and I recognize concerning maybe some, you know, maybe as you look upon their life, they don't sleep too well, and thus they aren't able to do well in other areas. But you know what? We have to take time to be holy. If we're going to be prepared for the Lord, as we think about eternal life, enjoying eternal life, or we can be foolish and neglect our opportunities that we have to do good to all people, and especially those who are the household of the faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10, and we will regret it for all of eternity. We will regret it. Suffering and pain and agony. If we could just get that across to individuals concerning their life and how short time, as you think about concerning in a lifetime as goes by, how short our time here is on earth compared to eternity. Compared to eternity is almost impossible to describe. Think about some who have wasted many precious years. Sing a song also, I'm Coming Home. As we mentioned before, God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Repent. Have that godly sorrow that would lead you to repent of your sins and come back home to the Lord before it is too late. Before it is too late. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Tomorrow may be too late. Give you this time and this opportunity. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, do it right now. You have been baptized for the remission of your sins, or at this time you need to be restored. Take this time to respond to the gospel invitation. Don't let the devil get you to say, well, I can wait till later. I can just delay another day. You think about Felix, the Apostle Paul speaking to Felix. And he trembled at the word of God when he talked about judgment day. But that time went by, and he offers Paul a bribe. As far as we know, he never responded to the gospel. How much? Very likely he is suffering even to this very minute. But you don't have to. You can rejoice right now in obedience to the gospel, or you can come back to the Lord and be restored. God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.